Our Father in heaven, Avinu Malchenu, we ask you to come. We ask you to speak. We ask you to move. We ask you to have your way. We ask you to do what you want to do. We ask you to manifest your presence. We ask you to work in our lives. We ask you to speak from heaven this morning. B'shem Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua, amen. Hallelujah. It's the first congregation I've been in maybe outside of Beth Messiah in Sarasota. I don't know if probably most of you don't know what happened there and what is happening. I speak there once every year, once every 6 months sometimes. I have good buddies from New York that live down there. I'm from New York myself, from Brooklyn, not from Queens, not from Long Island. That's where people from Brooklyn moved before they moved to New Jersey. And so a couple of my buddies moved down to Sarasota, of all places. And so I speak at the congregation down there, and I was speaking at the end of January, and something happened. It's now been maybe going on 80 days. The congregation is meeting still every single night. Going out into the streets of Sarasota, and they are being changed, and little by little, the city is being changed. I believe 200 people so far have made professions of faith in Yeshua, and there have been 4 miracles, which is normal. It's supposed to happen. A group went to Israel soon after, and what I was told, because I was not there, 50 Israelis prayed to receive Yeshua. And a woman from the group came with a walker, left without it, doesn't need it. Another person had a serious case of cancer, came back, went to the doctor. So far, no trace of it. Another person had macular degeneration of the eyes, prognosis, blindness, no trace of it. I think something is cooking. Typically, I always want an offering to be taken after I speak so you can understand more about what I'm doing, so you can have a heart to be part of it. But I felt this was not the day to do that because I don't want the Lord's Spirit to be hindered by taking an offering. And, you know, an offering is part of our worship. And so I want you to understand, and I'm trying very hard these days not to be slick in any way about taking an offering. I don't want to pull your emotional strings, but I want you to give unto the Lord as he directs you and to understand that the person, those who are involved in communicating the gospel, live by the gospel or the good news. I'm still trying to come up with a good term for the gospel or even the good news because it has very un-Jewish connotations. Even good news to a degree. You know, what Jewish people talk about good news. Good news is when Israel gets attacked, but missiles destroy the incoming missiles from Hamas. That's good news. But you know what I'm saying? Good news, gospel, evangelism. These are all terms that are not necessarily Jewish friendly, and I believe that we need to hear from God is how to talk about what's very Jewish, but has sort of taken on a non-Jewish connotation, if you know what I'm trying to say. You know, almost everything about our faith, which was once thoroughly Jewish, and there was no need to change anything, has become so foreign to the Jewish people that almost everything and all terms need to be changed. And that's because of what has happened, and I'm going to touch upon this, over the past 2,000 years. But the Gates of Zion is the name that I've given this. And I call it a ministry because I don't have a better word for that. But I would say this. I do not like when anyone asks, are you in full-time ministry? Because that would mean I'm full-time and you're not. But that's not biblical. We are all, if you are called by the Messiah, you are called full-time and you are the ministers. I do not see myself as being the minister and then you are, what are you, the term has been laity, the audience, those who are warming the pews, those who are coming to hear a message and worship and then have some nosh, go home and then come back next week. I believe those days are over. The Word of God says that there are different gifts of the Spirit. Some are called to be pastors, or we call them rabbis. There are teachers, there are evangelists, there are prophets, and there are apostles, but they are called to equip those who are the saints, those who are called before the foundation of the world. That is you. So I would like to begin to equip you to do the work of ministry, but I want you to start seeing yourself as a minister and as being called full time. Now, I'm not telling you to quit your job because your job is part of your ministry because it enables you to do what God has called you to do, but be open to Him moving. And what we need to do is recognize that the term, and I think it's a very American term, that we have this career path and that we have, you know, what do you want to do in your life, with your life? Well, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be an accountant. I have my own business. But according to the Word of God, in the New Covenant structure, these are all, in a sense, not to belittle them, but they're tent-making. They are for the purpose of fueling what God has called us to do together. And so I believe that the Lord wants us to have the mind of Messiah and think like He does. And if you remember, He started out calling Jewish men and telling them they were fishermen, tax collectors, and He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's the first thing that He said. He never changed that. And the last thing He said was, Go, not stay. Go and make disciples of all nations. This entire movement began as fellowships or bodies or whatever you want to call it, but they were like fishing boats. They were about the business of fishing for men. And once the fish were caught, they made disciples of them. That was the business of all the believers in the beginning. And I might have said this here before, but the problem has been is the fishing boats have become cruise ships. And in some cases, luxury liners. And the business of fishing, the business of reaching the lost, has taken such a back seat that the world is changing us. We are not changing the world. That, I believe, in fact, I'm sure of this, the Lord wants to change. And he wants to begin now, and he wants to begin with you. The salvation of Israel is such a key to what God is doing today in his desire to bring salvation to the world. When I first came to faith, I mean, it was the last thing that I thought I would ever do, like the rest of us. Who would have thought that I would be following this man named Jesus? As soon as this happened, you know, I didn't even think about it. I knew it was the truth. And the first thing I did is I went to my parents and my family and my friends. I think I bought a big cross and put it around my neck. And I said, Jesus is the Messiah. And they began searching for a psychiatrist. They thought that I took one too many drugs. And to this day, I'm still trying to undo the lack of wisdom that I had then. But nowadays, my friends call me to pray for them. I just got a phone call. A friend of mine, and I'll let you know, his name is Daniel Leshen, one of the boys from Brooklyn who moved down to Sarasota. He just got diagnosed just days ago with inoperable lung cancer that has spread to his bones. It does not look good. And so I just got a call that one of the guys is really demolished, and I was asked to call him. So I said, why are you asking me to call him? He goes, well, Bernie, we know that you have, we look up to you. In other words, through the years, they have seen that there's something different, something way different about my life. And I think all of them secretly believe that what I believe is true. In fact, I spoke to the brother of my friend Danny yesterday, and he said, "So, because he came to the congregation in Florida. Two of the guys came. It was actually really a riot. So one of them came, and he was going, Bern, you did great. You know, saying you did a great speech and all this kind of stuff. And then I said, well, do you think that it could possibly be true? And he said, probably. It's probably true. Yeah, it is probably true. And Another friend of mine came on a Friday night, and he's pretty loud. Actually, I told him when he comes into the kingdom, I could retire. He makes me look like an introvert. And so he says at the end of the service, out loud to the whole congregation, he goes, you know, if I accept Yeshua, my wife will divorce me. And then he hesitates, and he said, where do I sign up? Only a Jewish guy would do that. So it was really funny. So it says, whoever goes to war at his own expense, or who plants a vineyard and does not eat its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink the milk of the flock. It's written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. But is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say altogether, for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. And this is the apostle saying, if we've sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? So, as I said, I'm an equipping evangelist, and I make my living from doing this, but the need now is really more focused on this, on what I'm doing. And what I found out at Beth Messiah, because you know what? Because we have not been fishing for men for so many years, at Messianic Jewish congregations, the entire congregation has been clueless about how to talk to Jewish people. And there's a great need in the entire, let alone the world of the church. In the Messianic Jewish world, there is a great need for equipping. And today, after the message, we'll begin. But there is a wealth of information that you need to get, because if anyone, we should be experts at communicating the truth to Jewish people. Why else are we here? And so I have a website, and I'm going to mention it a bunch of times, gatesofzion.net, and I'm turning it into an equipping portal where there's going to be written material plus videos. And I'm in the process, I have this thing called a green screen. I never knew what it was before. And cameras, and I'm beginning to make videos instructing people how to effectively reach Jewish people. There's a big difference between talking to Jewish people about Jesus and effectively communicating to them about the Messiah. And I'm going to cover that, and I'm going to talk about that a little more, but I'll say this. The Jesus that Jewish people know is not the Messiah. The Jesus that Jewish people know and have been hearing about, he is not the Messiah. So when Jewish people tell me they don't believe in Jesus, I tell them, neither do I. It's the Jesus that you don't know, the Yeshua you don't know, the one you've never heard of. He is our Messiah. I tell you the truth. Jewish people know less. They don't know. You cannot say they know nothing about Jesus. They know less than nothing about Yeshua, Jesus. Less. Because whatever they know or whatever they think they know is completely false. So what I am asking for is for you to sow into the gates of Zion so that I could purchase this equipment and move forward. the Lord has given me some amazing ideas. And I believe that this video portal, which I believe will help people become an... And it's not rocket science to know how to speak to Jewish people, but it takes careful thought. In fact, it takes a rethinking, if you're not born Jewish, of who you are in the body. It's amazing how Christians have identified themselves apart from Israel and apart from the Jewish people for centuries. And then, of course, in order to communicate to Jewish people, it's undoing the national consciousness of Jewish people, because the gospel to Jewish people, the message of salvation to Jewish people, for the most part, for the past 2,000 years, has been, be baptized or we will kill you. Do you understand? That is what Jewish people have heard mostly for the past 2,000 years. And in modern times, it has been more, you need to convert and become one of us. While the Bible speaks of the Gentiles as having converted and becoming one of them. Because the tree of faith, the olive tree, is certainly not a Christmas tree. In fact, I was reading this book about one of the pioneers of Messianic Judaism, Rabinowitz. You might have read this book about him. And it's interesting that there was all of this excitement, and they were thinking, wow, the Jews are going to be converted. But that's the whole point. You can't, in other words, to tell a Jewish person he needs to convert from Judaism to believe in Jesus means to a Jew that he has to deny God. The problem is, his God is God. So there needs to be a complete rethinking of the message. And I believe God is leading us into this. The salvation of the Jewish people is the heartbeat of the Gates of Zion. Why I call it the Gates of Zion is we had a radio program in the Washington, D.C. area. Oh, goodness. It was right before the fall of the former Soviet Union. And I was on a secular station and called it the Gates of Zion because it was at the gates of the city that the prophets and the apostles spoke to the people. So the gates of the city is sort of the communication gateway. And so that's why I called it the Gates of Zion. And I was in the former Soviet Union, because after the former Soviet Union collapsed, well, it became the former Soviet Union at that point. But if you remember, Jewish people in that region of the world were so open because they were never taught that Yeshua is not the Messiah. They were simply taught there is no God. But then God, as always, has the last word. He said, there is no communism. And it all collapsed. And so I believe today there are a million Jews in Israel from the former Soviet Union, and many of them. And in fact, it may be the majority, maybe the majority of Messianic Jews could very well be Russian speakers, or at least a very good percentage. But 1% of the Jewish people know Yeshua. Maybe a drop more, maybe a drop less, but it's not like we are even close to having been successful. And I believe that you're going to hear why. And I believe that God wants us to change that. Yes, there is a remnant that will come into the kingdom amongst Israel, but it's a bigger remnant than what we have now. And one of the things that I've discovered in Sarasota over these past 2 months and recently in Westchester, I was at another Messianic congregation. We went out to Westchester Mall. Jewish people are more open now than I've ever seen. But you know what? No one's telling them. What did Yeshua say? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I'll tell you, they are really few. I think in all the time we're in Sarasota, we certainly hardly saw anyone else but ourselves. And people are so open that in some cases it took 10 minutes for someone to fully understand, be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and make a profession of faith to Yeshua and begin the process, Lord willing, of being discipled, because we're not called to convince people to say a prayer. That is the introduction. So we're going to take an offering for the gates of Zion, and I want you to give out of your heart and out of what God says. I also have these cards that I give out. And by the way, if anybody doesn't carry cash these days, which many don't, I can take, at the end of the service, I can take your credit card. You know, I know some young people, and I've gotten high tech. But if a couple of the shamashim or ushers, whatever you call them, could give these cards out. So anybody here? Or anybody, I mean. Could you just give one to everybody? Here's a few more. And if you could just take a card and borrow a pen, or, you know, you might have a, you know, people don't carry around pens anymore. And fill out your, I want to be able to communicate with you and take the bottom part, rip it off, so that you have the website, because I'm going to want to continue the seminar this morning on the internet. And I encourage you to go on the internet, because the Lord showed me whatever I have, I want to give away. I want to give it to you. I want whatever he's shown me, I want you to know. And so I'm going to have it all there, written and on video. And so you can help make that happen by sowing into the gates of Zion. And also to help sustain this, because I think this is just the beginning. And so there is a way to support the gates of Zion monthly. Now, you already gave your tithe. This is in the category of an offering. And if any group should offer and help give is to Jewish outreach, reaching the Jewish people, it should be a Messianic Jewish congregation. So I believe that everyone here can at least give a little, and it says that a little adds up to a lot. It's actually in Proverbs. It says when you gain wealth all at once, then you wind up losing it, but he who gathers little by little will increase it. So seriously, if everybody gives as little as $10, $15 a month, which you will not miss, it will not change your lifestyle for sure. And some could even do better than that, but give at least 10 or 15, again, as you're inspired by the Lord. If you're supporting any other ministries, Jewish ministries, and you're tapped out, then no pressure. But if you're not sowing into reaching the Jewish people financially, I want to give you an opportunity to get behind, especially since it's going to be for you. It's to help equip you. So you can fill it out. You can put down your credit card number, and I will copy it down, and then that number will be destroyed. So, you know, it'll be safe. You can trust me. Or you can go onto my website, gatesofzion.net. But what I find out is most people, they don't remember. So I want to make it easy for you. So, you know, put down the information, write legibly. And if you're going to send a check, make it out to, if you're going to give a check today, make it out to Gates of Zion. And fill that out. And when we take the offering, you could put the top part in. Or you could, if you don't have a pen or something, you could fill it out later and give it back to me. And so we can be done with the whole offering business. Amen. So how do we do this now? We're just passing it around, or? So I don't have any mood music to help with this. I'm sorry. I'm notorious for that. I really enjoy wearing this tallit, not because I like the colors, but because of who owned it. I might have wore it the last time I was here, and this was the tallit of Richard Wurmbrand, if you know who he is. And so I'm just honored that a friend of mine who ministered to him and his wife Sabina as they were passing on to the next world, Richard gave him this tallit, and then my friend David, Arnold is his last name, gave it to me. And so imagine, Richard Wurmbrand, you know, wore this. And you know that he was imprisoned for his faith for 13 years in Romania, and then actually appeared before Congress to show them his scars from being tortured, and started a ministry called Christ to the Communist World, and then now Voice of the Martyrs. And so from the beginning, even though he was imprisoned, he would proclaim the truth to his communist guards and be beaten. And he would look at that as a great trade-off. He said, if they beat me and I'm able to talk about the Messiah, fine with me. Can you imagine? Here we are, free, and we've been free to talk about Yeshua and still are, but think about it. How often do you deliberately go out and share what you know and communicate what you have? God has called us to be a light. He said, you are the light of the world. And he said, a light is not meant to be put under a bushel. It's supposed to be on a lampstand. He says, we're the salt of the earth. Salt, if it loses its taste, if it loses its saltiness, is good for nothing. I believe that these days and today, this morning, is a time to examine yourself. And it's an appropriate time because it's the time that we're commanded to put all leaven out of our homes to celebrate the Passover. Now is a time to put away leaven, sin, apathy, coldness, Because the Lord is gracious, and there is no condemnation. You see, the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. So I ask you to have an open heart this morning, and if he needs to speak to you, if you need to hear his fatherly admonition, open your heart. Do not harden your heart. He wants you to receive his heart, especially for the Jewish people. It says, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Have you thought about this? God has insomnia over his people. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. In this, if you could say God has anxiety, he has it over his people. He's waiting for his own people to return to him, and Yeshua himself wept over Jerusalem. I don't believe he just had some tears that dripped down his eyes, but he was weeping, and the Messiah was weeping. How would the Lord of heaven that came down from heaven weep? When he wept over Lazarus, they said, do you see how he loved him? But he wept over Jerusalem. I know this. He is still weeping. There are so few of us. There are so few of us that know him that we all know each other. There are so few of Jewish people that know him. What about Moses? We're going to be reading about Moses. Moses, he said to God, he argued with God because God was going to destroy Israel because of their complaining. And Moses said, blot me out of your book instead. And God relented and didn't destroy the Jewish people. He wrote, if I forget you, this is David, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, now he was a warrior, let my right hand wither. He'd be dead. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. What about the apostle to the nations who studied under Gamaliel? He said, he wrote, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. The same man that wrote that said, I have unceasing anguish and continual sorrow in my heart because of my brethren. And he said that I could wish myself accursed, cut off, just like Moses, blotted out of the book of life. No salvation for the sake of my brethren, the Jewish people. Moses, Yeshua, the apostle Shaul or Paul, all were broken, would be cursed. Yeshua was cursed for Israel and became a curse. They were willing to lose everything. What are you willing to lose? Do you come here to receive a good message, to dance? Are you more concerned about having a good Passover Seder? I'm not saying that we shouldn't have joyous celebrations in the Messiah. But I said to a good friend of ours recently, I said, and again, I'm not from the dancers, but I think dancing is, without a doubt, an expression of our celebration before the Lord. But how can we dance in circles when 99% of our people are going to hell? Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm not against dancing. Do we have our priorities right? No way. This began as a movement and a revival in the late 60s and early 70s. It was all about telling our families, friends, and you know what? Everybody about Yeshua. And we didn't even know his name was Yeshua. The Messianic movement has stopped moving. It needs to move again. You need to move. I need to move. We were singing a song before called Revival. All these songs, all the world we will see Yeshua. All the world will see Yeshua, God's salvation. Those were the words. Well, let's start with Long Island. This is one of the largest Jewish cities on earth. Do you know that I believe there are more Jewish people within 100 miles of where we are right now than in all of Tel Aviv? There are 3 million, at least there was when I last looked at the stats, 3 million Jewish people within 50 to 100 miles of Manhattan. There are not 3 million Jews in either Jerusalem or Tel Aviv. What is the spiritual condition of the Jewish people today? Yeshua said, I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The people of Israel are more lost now than ever before. But the Lord remains the good shepherd of Israel. And he longs to gather them under, like, his wings. Like you know, he created birds and chickens and hens, and he knows more than we do the instinct of a hen to gather her brood under her wings. That's what he longs to do. I mean, that's close. He wants the Jewish people close to him because he knows what's coming. But he said, and he said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And he said, as the Father, as Abba sent me, so I send you. These are his words. There is no difference. There is no difference between us and Yeshua according to call. He was sent to the lost. So are we. No one can replace you. You are called into the kingdom just like Esther for such a time as this. In fact, you're greater than Esther. Do you know who you are? The Lord himself said there is no one greater than Yochanan, John. And he said he was least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest prophet of Israel. That means you, in God's sight, in the real measure of what a human being is. You are greater than Esther, greater than John the Immerser. In churches, I have to remind them he was not a Baptist. What is the meaning of the following? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God. The gospel is not even a message. It's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jewish people first. The reason why you are here, you may not know this, is because God wants to come back to a world that is waiting for him. And the way it is made for this to happen is the Jewish people first receive light and then bring that light everywhere. That's what happened in the first century. If you're not born Jewish, if it was not for the Jewish people, you would not be here, not because there wouldn't be a Messianic congregation, there would not be salvation. Yeshua said salvation is from the Jews. The Bible that you have is from the Jews. Everything that you have spiritually is from the Jewish people. It's only right. It's the right to bring salvation back to the people who first brought it to you. That's God's heart. It is written, salvation has come to the nations to make Israel jealous. What does that look like? How is that supposed to happen? Well, it's not going to happen by the Gentiles telling Jewish people they need to come into their religion, their faith. No, it will come by them looking at Jewish people with tears in their eyes and telling them, I worship and I serve your God. I am part of your covenant. Thank you for this book. This is from you to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's what Jewish people need to hear. Jewish people need to see that in the heart of every Gentile that knows the Messiah, that that person has their inheritance. Jewish people need to see in the heart of every Gentile that there's something inside of them that belongs to them. If you're not Jewish, first of all, God bless you, because it's about you. See, it's not about the Jewish people. The Jewish people are called to serve you, to serve the Gentiles. That's why God chose Abram before he changed his name to Abraham, the father of many nations. He was an exalted father. That's what his name meant. But he said, you, your descendants, will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. So that's why he came to Israel first. And he selected these Jewish men to change the world. And they did. History shows there are not any that even come close to the Jewish disciples of Yeshua that changed the world more than those men and women. There is no one. They turned the world upside down. That is why the enemy is terrified of Jewish people getting a hold of the Word of God again. I want you to understand that. There is intense opposition to make sure your mouth is shut to make sure my mouth is shut. In fact, there's this so-called godly saying, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. That's in direct contradiction to the Word of God, which says, how beautiful are the feet of those who communicate, who preach, who speak good news. Because how can they hear unless someone tells them? And how is anybody going to tell them unless they are sent? And I believe God is sending you. Are you hearing him? It is so clear. See, there are groups that are given to the proclamation of the gospel. But a group is not enough. It's got to be the body. We are his body. It can't be just a few in the family. We're all called. We're all called to be sent. Against all odds, the Jewish people are alive today. It's impossible to destroy Israel. We celebrate almost every holiday because of that. We're celebrating Passover. It's almost 3,500 years, year after year, that we celebrate the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. Egypt has never become a world power again. They were the America of those days. They were huge. But once their army was thrown into the Red Sea, it was all over for them. We're celebrating that now. We celebrate Purim not too long ago. Haman tried to destroy Israel, the Jewish people. Instead, he was destroyed. But one thing the enemy has been able to do. See, he can't destroy Israel because of God's covenant, who said as long as there are stars in heaven and a sun and a moon, so long will Israel be a nation before me. But what the enemy has been able to do is to keep the Jewish people far, far away from their king. And that has got to change. In Sarasota, there must be 25 Jewish people that we've connected with that have become friends, and little by little, they're getting closer and closer. Again, when Jewish people tell me they don't believe in Jesus, I said, neither do I. But have you ever heard of the rabbi from Nazareth who is full of life, who wept over our people, who when someone touched his tallit, they were healed instantaneously? No, I've never heard of him. I didn't think you have. Let me reintroduce to you the greatest rabbi who ever lived. He is the Holy One of Israel. He never set foot in a church. He doesn't even like stained glass that much. He's not religious. He detests man-made religion. He's the God of the Spirit. He's real. He's alive. And you could know him. Furthermore, one of our communications is, how many have heard that the Jews have rejected Jesus? How many? Raise your hand. We've all heard that. I take issue with that. I take issue with that. Why? Why did the rulers of the Pharisees, time and time again, fear arresting Yeshua because they were afraid the people would riot What people? Indians? Chinese? Why did Yeshua have to get into a boat to avoid being crushed? Who was so wanting to get close to him? Were these Australians? Were these Filipinos? No, they were Jews. Why does it say myriads of those who were zealous for the law, Orthodox, observant Jews, followed him, including the priests? Why, after he raised Lazarus from the dead, did they meet together, did his opponents meet together, the theopolitical leaders, the politically correct authorities? Why did they have a meeting and say, we must do something about this, or everyone will wind up believing in him? Everyone? Who? All Israel. Yes, the authorities rejected him and even prophesied that it was expedient for one man to die for the nation. And he did. But if the powers and rulers of darkness understood that, does it not say they would have never crucified the Lord of glory? Because by him rising from the dead, it's all over for the devil. So why are we listening to him? He's defeated. Why are we afraid of being rejected? The Lord said, they've rejected the prophets. Woe to you if men speak well of you. We're not supposed to want to be popular. We're not supposed to desiring to have a red carpet rolled out. But we, it says, if you do not suffer with him, you will not reign with him. We are called to be like him. We cannot just come to these buildings anymore and sit down and let someone else teach us and then go home and do nothing. And I'll tell you something, and I don't want to decrease the attendance of your congregation by saying this, but it would be better to watch television than to hear the word of God and not do it. Because it says that if we hear the word of God and we don't do it, we deceive ourselves. Yeshua said, don't say, for those who say, I have prospered, I am rich, and I need nothing. In other words, if you think you have it made in the shade, you're not going to come to the light. Because the light exposes everything. And I believe the Lord, who is light, is exposing our hearts right now. The Lord said, would it be that he would rather that we're either cold or hot? He said, if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. You cannot sit on the fence. And it's not an option to not be involved, because he said, he who does not gather with me scatters. There is no neutral in the kingdom of God. It's interesting that the believers in China and in other parts of the world pray. They know our condition. They know. The world is very close these days because of television and the internet. They pray that we get persecuted. They pray that we're persecuted. They pray it becomes illegal to follow Yeshua here. Why? Because you know what? It separates the real disciples from those who are just religious. But you got to ask yourself, who am I? take your spiritual temperature now, because he says, those whom I love, I reprove, and I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, salve that you may see. He's talking to his body. He's not talking to the unbelievers. He's talking to us. Gold refined by, and says, he, it says, he will sit as a refiner of fire until he refines the sons of Levi. We are all called into a priesthood. We are all called into being a holy people for a purpose, not just to show up in a building, but to change the world in which we live. And in a messianic Jewish congregation, we are called to change the way Jewish people think about Yeshua, and we are called to a harvest that is plentiful, especially here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yeshua. The enemy has done a great job of keeping the Jews out of the body. But we have a calling on our lives to change this. The Word of God says, therefore it is said, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Messiah shall give you light. Look carefully then, carefully, how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Will the Lord intervene in the affairs of this world? Yes, but he uses people. And we're his body on this earth. Like I said, the messianic movement has stopped moving years ago. And if you, when you received Messiah and were called to be part of this community, if you really meant it, then I believe he's calling you to make a decision and put away all that is not from him in your mindset, in your schedule, and make a way for him to use you. I believe God is calling his people to come to him, and just like the outcasts who were gathered to David when Absalom took over Israel, they came to David, and their purpose was to bring back the real king. The real king of Israel is not ruling and reigning over Israel today, but we're called to bring him back. Are you in? Are you in? Without any mood music, usually I would say, let the worship leaders come and make it easy. But no. He said, the way to destruction is easy, but the way to life is hard. It's narrow. It takes, he wants all of you. Yeshua just doesn't want part of you. He just doesn't want you on Shabbat. He doesn't want you on Passover. In fact, he is Passover. But he wants you, all of you. He's a jealous God. In a sense, he wants all of us or none of us. And I think it's time to turn away from selfishness, from apathy, and to give ourselves, look, the beginning is prayer. Lord, what is your strategy for Holbrook, New York? What is your strategy for Long Island? How can we reach the Jewish people and everyone else? How do we do this? Where do we go? Where do we begin? He's more interested in fulfilling that prayer than we ever will be. So I want to ask you, if God is speaking to you and you want to say to him, here I am, send me, I want you to stand up right now. Only if you mean it. And I want you to come up here to the front quickly without thinking. Without talking to each other. This is a time between you and God. Corporately, we're together, but I want you to do business with God. I want you to be honest with him. I want you to tell him how little you have cared or how, whatever. Be honest with him. You know, we're supposed to take the candle and search for the chametz. Well, take that candle, put it in your heart, search your heart. It says examine yourselves. Don't you know that, you know, the greatest thing that can ever happen, come all the way up front, don't stand in the back. Make room, please. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Come up front. Come close. We're family. In fact, we need each other. In fact, if you don't fulfill your calling, I'm ripped off. It's because without you, I can't do what God has called me to do. The hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. Is the Bible true or not? Then we need each other, don't we? We should be together. We should encourage each other, and we should strengthen each other, and we should make sure each other that we're fulfilling what God has called us to do. So the Lord says to each one of us when he meets us, well done, well done. Don't you want to hear him say that? So begin doing whatever it is, so he'll say that. Hallelujah. There's so much hope with Yeshua. He's the God of light. He brings light. He speaks to us. It's uncomfortable sometimes, but what son is there whose father doesn't discipline him? We need to be disciplined. I need to be corrected every day. We could never think that we've arrived. There's only one perfect one who never sinned. We're all unrighteous, but we're made righteous because of his righteousness, because of his obedience. Well, Father, I just pray, Father, whether it's uncomfortable or not, that everyone just cries out to you. Don't worry about who's next to you verbally. Don't, you know what? Speak it out. Speak it out. Remember, there was one man who thought that he had it made. And then another man that just beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He went to his home justified. The other guy remained none of us could stand before the living God without the blood of the Messiah. Oh, God, I just pray, Father God, for a real genuine repentance right now. Oh, God, Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Lord God, sometimes, Lord God, the light is the only light that I see is the light coming out of my TV. Lord God, Father, we just pray that we abandon a lot of what we've been used to, a lot of what we've bought into, and that we just remove from ourselves every weight and sin, and that we begin to walk with you, that just as you are, so are we in this world. Father, I pray, Lord God, for heartfelt repentance in this place, Lord God, and that your word says that actually it was Yochanan that said, bear fruit that befits repentance. Father, we even pray ahead of time for Long Island. Lord God, for Jewish Long Island especially. Lord God, that you would lead us. Father, I pray that everyone here becomes fully equipped, but first, work in the heart. Father, first, may there be a broken heart for the salvation of the Jewish people. Raise up intercessors here in this place who will weep for the broken, for the outcasts, for the down and out among the Jewish people, the poor. Lord God, Jewish people are not materially poor these days, but spiritually impoverished. Lord God, without a knowledge of God, there are so many Jews that we even have a new branch of Judaism called secular Judaism. Lord God, what does that even say? What does that even mean? Lord God, your people, the descendants of Abraham, who are so lost that they don't even believe that there is a God anymore. Father, we pray for mercy upon Israel. We pray, Father God, that you bring angels. We need angels. We need help in this city. We need supernatural help. Father God, we pray for nothing less than a revival in Long Island. Father God, we pray for the power of God. We pray for signs and wonders, Father God. We pray for the equipping of the saints. Father God, we pray for an excitement. We pray that I want to pray for everyone here to see you work through them that you've never done before in ways that they never even imagined. Father, I want to ask you, Lord God, to do healing, divine healings, that there would be words of knowledge, that there would be supernatural signs and wonders following. Father, we pray, Father God, that there would be activity on the beaches this summer. Father God, where the multitudes flock to the malls, to the beaches, to the streets, to the markets, and that we would be there. And Father, we pray to you. You are the Lord of the harvest. Send laborers. Send laborers. And send me. Tell them, send me. Send me. Send me. Here I am. Hineni. Send me. Send me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Yes, this is the reason why you came. This is the very reason for him. He came. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Either you believe or you perish. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He will not come into judgment, but is passed over from death to life. Yeshua is this Passover lamb. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was all set up. Egypt, the 400 years plus of slavery, it was all meant to be. It's all leading up to now. It was written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come. We are called as prophets. We are called as priests to bring back the King. Hallelujah. Lord God, help us to see it, that there's nothing less than a world-changing mandate that each one of us has.
And when you take your eyes off of yourself and you look at the fields that are white for harvest, all of a sudden a lot of your problems that you think are making your life so difficult will completely vanish away. I'm telling you, we look at ourselves too much. If we look at those who do not know God, who are perishing and on the way to hell, we will start thinking differently. You won't be so worried about getting healed. You'll be healed in the process. Because everyone that left Egypt were healed. They were all healed. There was not one feeble one, not one feeble one among them. We are to live this Passover. We are to experience it. It's not only a meal, a memorial of what happened. He is happening. He is the Passover right now. Right now. He is the Lord of the Sabbath right now. He is the atonement of Yom Kippur right now. He is everything that everyone needs now. He is I am. He is I am. You know, I believe the reason why we celebrate the feast year after year after year after year after year after year after generation is to get this word in us, because He is the Word of God. He is that Word. And He says, my words are spirit and life. We're not just going and talking to people tomorrow or to the next night. We're not talking. We are bringing life to them. Rivers of living water will flow out of your heart. And you know what? That's going to make you feel good. When you have living water coming out of your heart, it's going to change you. It's going to change you to speak words of life. We're not called to be like the Dead Sea, which gives nothing. We're called to be like a river of living water, full of life. And Father, I pray that you impart your life. Hallelujah. We thank you that you are not the God who speaks plausible words of wisdom, but rather the demonstration of your spirit and of power. And I ask you right now to heal supernaturally anyone that is sick. Lord God, that you do that, Father God, that we start seeing your healing presence regularly in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. We ask you, Father, that you lift everyone's spirit that might be depressed or unhappy about their lives. Father God, forget about your life. The Lord says if everything works out, if you find your life, you're going to lose it anyway. But he who loses his life for my sake, he will find it. You see, with Yeshua, the opposite is true. You want to receive, give. You want to be exalted, humble yourself. Hallelujah. And if you want to receive water, he who waters will himself be watered. He's incredible. He's everything. He's everything. Forget about whether it's true, Cruz or Trump or even Hillary. It doesn't matter. The King is coming. The King is coming. And he will rule in righteousness. He will rule in righteousness. Hallelujah. We need to be ready. The word of God is in the last days. There will be deception. Let's not be deceived. Let's change. Let's do what we can to bring truth and light to everyone. That's our calling. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I'm speaking to you. Yes. Yes. You know the Hebrew, but you know that you are the light. You're starting to shine. You're starting to shine. Light. What kind of light? It's not the light of a light bulb. It's the light of a burning torch. In fact, the Word of God says that His servants are flames of